Welcome to the Principled Podcast, brought to you by LRN. The Principled Podcast brings together the collective wisdom on ethics, business and compliance, transformative stories of leadership, and inspiring workplace culture. Listen in to discover valuable strategies from our community of business leaders and workplace changemakers.
Hi, I'm Susan Divers with LRN, a senior advisor, and I'm lucky to be here today with Bertrand Russeret, who is an advisor with the Office of Ethics and Business Conduct at the World Bank, whom we've had the pleasure of working with. Bertrand, thanks for being here today. And let's start off. Do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Thank you, Suzanne. I'm delighted to be here with you. So I've been working for the World Bank for the last 5 years. And before that, I spent 20 years with a European organization. And I've previously been involved in the privatizations in the UK.
Thanks. And right now in the World Bank, your job involves ethics and compliance. Can you tell us what that means in practical terms and a little bit about the office you work for?
So the World Bank has got several units dealing with compliance per se, and we are actually focusing purely on ethics. So another office is in charge of anti-corruption, and with private sector compliance is dealt with directly by our colleagues in the International Finance Corporation, which is the private sector arm of the World Bank Group. The Ethics and Business Conduct Department is focusing on individual behaviors and, perhaps more importantly, on corporate values, what we call our core values, and on operational ethics, and on training and providing advice, and when it's needed, carrying out investigations on situations that relate to either individual ethics or organizational one.
I know that you've recently taken a look at your values for the bank as a whole. Can you tell me what those values were that came out of that process, or are, I should say?
So the values are impact, integrity, respect, teamwork, and innovation. What was very clear from the discussions of the focus groups was that the staff is generally proud to work for the bank and proud to work for development, and they really believe in what we're doing, in the need to alleviate poverty and to reach development levels in every country so that really no child sort of wakes up hungry and every child can go to school and every woman has got the opportunity to work if she so wants, etc. There was really a very, very strong conviction at that level. And so this is why impact is our first value. This drives everybody. This is why we get up in the morning. However, impact is nothing without integrity. And integrity is particularly important for the World Bank. We actually have a history of being the pioneers on anti-corruption and really driving the agenda when it wasn't popular. And I personally had the privilege of hearing Jim Wolferson, who made his famous speech on the cancer of corruption in 1996, saying that just when he was going to the platform, he was still being advised that this was a difficult theme and that he was going to antagonize a number of people in the world by doing so. And he decided to do so. And this courage of conviction is something that we're very proud of. And that really, you know, stimulates a lot of what we do. Then, of course, respect is fundamental in an organization with 180 nationalities. And also an organization that works for the poorest in the world. If you don't respect people, how are you going to be really interested in what happens to the poorest of the poor in the slums of Calcutta or anywhere in the world? you really need to have respect as a fundamental value to be able to be effective in what you do for development. One of the characteristics of the World Bank is actually having a very broad variety of skills. We have anthropologists, we have economists, of course, quite a few.
Like yourself.
Yes, like myself. A few interested in philosophy as well. We have mathematicians, we have engineers, we have urban planners, we have social development specialists, we have computer engineers, et cetera, et cetera. We have doctors who help build hospitals, etc. And part of the recipe for the success of what we do is really calling upon this variety of skills. And so teamwork has to be a very, very strong value, because none of us can know enough to do a development project on our own. We need to know the region, we need to know the sector, we need to look at all the aspects of project management, do the procurement right, make sure that the impact on the environment is a positive one, et cetera, et cetera. Teamwork is essential. And finally, innovation. If we had a sure and proven recipe for economic and social development in the world in a sustainable way, we would need possibly not the World Bank, but not a lot of institutions. In fact, development is very complex. It depends very much on the situation of a region, of a country. This can change. Climate change is clearly affecting a number of countries in new ways. The volatility of the weather is creating new challenges and the need for more resilience, etc. And so we always need to adapt and we always need to find new solutions and new ways. And so it is essential for an organization to, like the World Bank, to be innovative. And it is actually, I think, in our DNA that there is really a lot of value in the organization in bringing new ideas. And so we end up with these five values of impact, integrity, respect, teamwork, and innovation.
Those are very impressive values, particularly as you related them to the bank's work. And one of the things that strikes me in listening to you is how many different cultures you have at the bank and in how many different cultures you operate worldwide. And as you were just saying, the bank has to go in and really understand many different cultures, many different situations, and come up with the best solution. From an ethics point of view, how do you get the bank's staff and the bank's clients to coalesce around these values? Because they may not be the same in every culture.
This is indeed the case. There are differences. However, all the cultures in the world, all the religions in the world are, you know, favoring respect and integrity. I think all the management solutions are favoring impact. And so there's a lot of universals behind our values. I think everybody now agrees that in the changing world, innovation is essential. If you look at the Harvard Business Review 2019 review, you'll see that teamwork is becoming almost a buzzword. So there's a lot of rationale that transcends the cultures and for these values. At the same time, we can also make progress little by little. Sometimes, actually, in our spare time, I spend a lot of spare time on ethics theories and on ethics more generally, and seeing how we can apply that to development. But I'm not the exception, and that's what's fantastic. I was yesterday at the presentation of one of most recent reports, which is on domestic violence. And what about 20 of my colleagues have done in their spare time is translate the various legislations, the various rules that exist in the world about gender-based violence so that people can actually see the differences.
They've done that in their spare time.
Exactly. And that shows just doing that, you know, without necessarily even doing a project, just doing that has allowed us to realize that there are about 25% of the countries that have no rules in to prevent gender-based violence or domestic violence. There's a broad variety of the rules, and when you translate them all into English, then these differences can be seen more readily. And that's just a small example, but how also we constantly try to use our cultural and national diversity as a wealth, as a resource. And so here's an example. We just look at what exists in all the countries. And when we put all this together, we actually, learn from that. We've done that in ethics, on declarations of interest. For instance, there's a report that has looked at the various programs in the world. And that looks at, what's common, what's not, or what can we learn from that. So that's something we tend to do a lot. In fact, not considering that one country or one method is necessarily the best, but looking at trying to understand why there are differences and looking at whether we can learn from any of these.
So that's really a version of crowdsourcing, it sounds like. And I think the bank, from what you're saying, is a pioneer in that, because you've always had this wealth of cultures and nationalities, and people are interested in what other countries have done or other cultures have done. So that's a real advantage that the bank has in carrying out its mission. As one of the key architects of the Office of Ethics and Business Conduct's strategic plan and overall direction and goals, where do you see your program going in the next 5 years? What do you see as the challenges, and what do you see as the accomplishments that you want for it?
So in terms of program, we are actually building on the core values to revise our code of conduct. And so a big initiative will be the launch of the new code of conduct. And this is an entirely new approach. We had a code of conduct which, in some ways, was a substitute to regulation. It was saying what not to do rather than what to do. But if you do that, you end up not promoting ethical excellence, but almost what I would call ethical mediocrity, in the sense that you tell people what's the minimum acceptable level for them not to be in trouble. And we want to move away from that.
That's a very sophisticated argument, and you're right. Yeah.
And so we'd like to go to ethical excellence, which is, okay, how are you expected to behave if you really want to behave well? And so our new code, instead of saying, don't do this, don't do that, explains what you're expected to do. So it is much more aspirational. We actually have removed not all the reference to rules, but we've actually mentioned that there are a number of protections. But we don't repeat what the regulations are saying, which was the case before. We just go one step beyond saying, well, in order to really implement our values, this is how you have to behave. That's a very important initiative for us. Another one is regarding the investigations, to be more focusing on the human aspect, both in terms of addressing victims' allegations or individuals' allegations. And I say victims, I know that people, when they hear that, well, would say, well, maybe not allegations are well-founded, etc. At the same time, if someone comes to an ethics department to say, well, I feel either disrespected or harassed or being, you know, the victim of abuse of authority, and whether it's true or not, we have somebody who is in a situation of pain, of suffering, and we need to address that. It doesn't mean that investigation is the solution, but it means that some solution should be granted. So we're looking much more into that, into developing innovative ways of addressing what might just be inappropriate behaviors, might not justify investigations, but still need to be addressed. So that to us is a very big challenge. And also that makes managing the investigations more difficult. When you have a service that is simply targeting people, trying to be the internal police, and will try to catch as many people as possible, you just take as an objective the number of people you manage to find guilty of something, and you just maximize that, and that's how you appraise people. When you want to have a balanced approach and not get at people, not try to hunt people down, but resolve issues, you need to have a much finer assessment of whether the situation was resolved. That actually means developing new activities. And that was recommended actually by LRN, which is the development of root cause analysis, to be able to understand the situation better and see whether we were really able to bring an answer to it. And then I think the third big axis for us is operationalizing what we do, making sure that ethics is present in everything the bank does. We're very fortunate to have very ethical objectives, reducing poverty, reducing extreme poverty, reducing extreme income disparity are eminently ethical objectives. And so we should be able to have ethical conversations on everything we do. And that's where we want to be at and what we want to achieve.
Well, I think that's a great place to end, because that's a wonderful goal. And having worked with you for the last couple of months, I really applaud your sincerity and your vision and your passion and that of your colleagues too. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Principled Podcast is brought to you by LRN. At LRN, our mission is to inspire principled performance in global organizations by helping them foster winning ethical cultures rooted in sustainable values. Please visit us at LRN.com to learn more. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to leave us a review.